Good evening. Welcome, everyone. I'm Carol Ward Allen, BART Director, and I'm Chair of the Police, the BART Police Department Review Committee. However, we have a subcommittee that's working tonight that will be presenting this program, and I'm here in full support. I welcome all of you here this evening, and we will be beginning shortly. Diana, is she here? On behalf of the BART directors that are here and part of this committee, we want to present to you a card for Tatiana for her birthday tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. And now I will turn it over to Director Joel Keller.
Thank you, Director Ward Allen, and welcome to everyone this evening. I'm going to keep my remarks very short. I just wanted to be sure that everyone understood what this process is about this evening and how we got to where we are today. In an effort to try to ensure that we have civilian oversight in the BART Police Department as quickly as possible, we have established a subcommittee of the BART Police Review Committee. It's comprised of individuals that were recommended by me, as well as people who were in the audience on the day that we created the committee. The committee has been working together and has been looking at the various models. We suspect that something, a hybrid model of the three general models that we look at, will emerge that can be considered by the BART board. So this evening is your opportunity to respond to us with your comments, your input, your point of view, and your thoughts about the direction that we're headed in. Our able moderator, Dr. Marshall, will conduct the majority of the session this evening. But before we go to Dr. Marshall, I'd like to ask if there were comments from Director Radulovich, who has been the strongest voice for the longest time for civilian oversight on the BART Police Department. So if Director Radulovich would like to make some comments, then we'll ask Director Sweet, and then we'll go to Dr. Marshall.
Just wanted to thank everyone for coming out and just say we're really looking for folks' input on the details of this model. We had great presentations on the second from a whole bunch of panelists really talking about their models, being very candid about what I think were the strengths and weaknesses of these, the Inspector General model, these kind of commission models, and San Francisco's model, the independent agency model, which is very different in a way from anything else that we've seen. So we have there is a proposal here. It's come together, and I'm not entirely thrilled with it, but we're looking for your input tonight. We really want to hear what you think. Did we hit all the right notes? Have we really described the duties and responsibilities of the independent auditor well? Is this everything that we should be looking at? I think also the role of the citizen board, whether that's advisory or stronger, but the role of that citizen board is something that I want to hear from members of the public about tonight, and also, of course, the role in discipline of police. That's something that I'm really curious about. So I know when we get to public comment, you can talk about whatever you want, but these, I think, are things that would really help me understand what we need to do to make this the model that is going to create the incredible professional and accountable police force that I want to see here at BART. So thanks again for coming out. We look forward to your comments.
Thanks, Tom. If I would look at the agenda, I would have known that I had another responsibility. But let me do it. Let me take this out of order. We'll go to you next, Director Sweet. I wanted to introduce, and meant to introduce, the members of the committee who are involved in looking at the various models. Tom Radulovich on my left is on the committee, and Lynette Sweet on my right is on the committee. Is Reverend Daniel Buford here? Reverend Buford, thank you for being here this evening. Thank you for your time and efforts on this on our behalf. Donald Casimir. Mr. Casimir is not here. Dorothy Duggar, general manager. Reginald Lyles, on the left here. Minister Muhammad. thank you again for your time and effort. Greg Savage and Jesse Seacon. All of these individuals have participated in getting us to where we are today. We may not be where we need to be, but I think we're headed in a very positive direction. Let me go to Director Sweet for her comments.
I'll actually keep my comments very short because what I'd like to do is hear from you all. We did take a lot of time and energy to put something together to present tonight. And everyone out here, everyone out in the audience who has a packet, my hope is that you're going to pay attention, a whole lot of attention, to the one that says draft on it. This draft form is what we are going to be working from today. It's going to be kind of the, lack of a better word, it'll be the Bible of the Police Review Committee that we're going to work with. And I'm sorry, ministers, for using that term out of context, but for our intents and purposes, we need something that will put some meat on how we will be policing our police department going forward. And that can't happen unless you all put your heads together tonight and give us some ideas. So my hope is that when we leave here tonight, we'll have a document that we can go back, work with, and present to you in a fashion that will put our police review committee in action. So again, my comments are short. I'm just looking to hear from you.
Thank you, Director Sweet. Why don't we now turn to Commander Maria White from the Bart Police Department. And Commander White can tell us what the current process of filing a citizen complaint is with the police department.
I think my voice carries pretty good, so I'm not sitting here and I don't have a mic, so raise your hand if you can't hear me in the back and I'll speak a little louder. And excuse me for turning my back on you. I think I'm okay. You have a problem.
Everybody else okay? Yeah.
So I was asked to just give a brief overview of what our current internal affairs complaint process is for citizens to complain.
Put it up to your mouth.
It's not on. Testing. Okay, here we go. Just repeating what I said, I was asked to give a brief overview of what our current internal affairs complaint process is for citizens who wish to complain about police conduct, police contacts, or any police employee. It just doesn't have to be a sworn police officer. But essentially, a citizen can complain in person, by email, by third party. It can be a witness, it can be a parent of a youth that was contacted. The person does not need to be there. So there are several different forms, formats or ways that people can make complaints against our personnel. I have some recent examples that were cited over the last week. We had a citizen who emailed a complaint to a board of director. That complaint trickled down to the police department, and the chief assigned that for investigation. Our website, the BART.gov website, has the complaint process in it, and it has the complaint form in it, and the form can be printed up, it can be mailed in, it can be hand-delivered. People can telephone and asked to speak to the internal affairs sergeant. If that person is unavailable, then they would ask to speak to a supervisor or command level officer, and the complaint would be taken over the phone, or if they want to meet with the police supervisor, that can be done also. So during during normal business hours, the internal affairs sergeant is here. Outside of those hours, as I said, it would be a supervisor, a manager, and we have a supervisor on duty 24/7. We accept all complaints regarding concerns about the actions about the officer. When somebody makes a complaint, if it is given to us in writing or if we take it over the telephone, we send them a copy of their complaint so they can look at it. If they wish to add anything, they can at any time, or if they wish to change something. So once we receive the complaint, the chief assigns it for investigation. And generally that goes to the internal affairs sergeant. If it's of a very minor nature, it can be assigned to a line supervisor or the line manager for that officer. So once the complaint is investigated, based on the evidence that supports the finding, a finding comes out, and it's a recommendation to the chief of police. He reviews all of these investigative reports and either approves or disapproves of the report. Once that is done, and let's say that the report is approved, the report goes to command staff generally, and command staff reviews the report or the details of the report, and we talk about what the disposition is and what the proper corrective action should be. So in some cases it may be training, in some cases it may be discipline, or both. Six findings can be found. Okay, one is sustained. That means that the investigation supports the evidence. And the allegation is supported by the evidence and determined to be a violation of policy. Not sustained, there's insufficient information to prove or disprove the allegations. Unfounded, the allegation is false, the alleged act did not occur, or the department was not involved. Exonerated, the action complained about occurred, but was lawful, justified, and proper. No finding means there was insufficient information to continue with the investigation. And an example of that would be when an officer resigns before we can complete the investigation. If a citizen is not satisfied with the findings, then what should happen is that they contact the internal affairs sergeant. We currently don't have a written formal policy on an appeal process. However, the chief, and again, the citizen, if the citizen contacts the chief would meet with the citizen, and what would probably happen, it doesn't happen very often, is that the chief would probably assign that investigation report to be reviewed more thoroughly to make sure that we didn't miss anything in the investigation. That about sums it up as far as our process goes.
Thank you, Commander White. Now let me turn the meeting over to Dr. Marshall, and I'll let you take it over to him.
All right. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Appreciate everyone being here to give the subcommittee up here feedback on the citizen oversight draft they have put in front of us. I was told to say a little something about myself, which will be very brief. Dr. Joe Marshall, there's probably a dual interest in this because I am the vice chair of the San Francisco Police Commission, which is a civilian oversight body for that jurisdiction, and I'm also very interested in the community as the executive director of Omega Boys Club and the host of the Free Soldiers Radio program. So I would appreciate being involved in this process. Some ground rules I'm supposed to give that probably should have been given before we started. Please turn off your cell phones and pagers, put them on silent or vibrate. The agenda you have in front of you shows the order of the meeting. Part one will be a presentation of this draft. And we'll show how the subcommittee has worked on developing this model and why they settled on this model. We've already heard from Commander White about the process that is currently in place for a member to file a complaint. And I will take a few minutes to walk you through some of the highlights of the draft in front of you, give you a few minutes to read it over before we proceed to part two. And part two is the key part of the meeting as far as everyone is concerned. That's the time we get to hear your input on the draft. And that's really what tonight is all about. The committee wants to really, and I think Director Pegulovich, I hope I said your name right, said it well, they want to, see if they've hit the high notes here. Your folder contains a copy of the agenda, general information on civilian oversight, a brochure that describes how to file a complaint, and an outline of the draft oversight model for BART that we'll be discussing this evening. It also contains a copy of BART board meeting procedures and rules of conduct. Restrooms are located in the hallway with women's outside the door to... They're out there. I'm not even trying to get left and right. The one thing we do ask, and of course everyone will be able to speak, but the one thing that we really want you, we want to ask you to focus on, once you understand, we're here to discuss the draft and to ensure that progress can be made with moving this thing forward. And to do that, we need your input on this model. It's very, very important. That's why we're here tonight. A couple of things. I'll go over how part two will proceed as we move forward. There is some of you have already filled out forms to speak. I'll go over more of that as we move forward and move into part two. You've already had been introduced to the members of the committee, and so without further ado, one thing I will say, and I will try and be firm with this. I do it all the time as member of the police commission. 3 minutes, everyone is limited to 3 minutes, and that's so that everyone, we can hear from everyone. There's probably never people who want to talk. I will try and stick to that because we want to hear from everyone who has a desire to speak. All right, let's move then back to, I think that's on the agenda, is hearing from Director Sweet and Reverend Buford on how we got here and why this particular citizen oversight structure.
Well, I'm Director Sweet, so I'll start off on that. Again, thank everybody for being here, but I'd also like to thank this committee for the amount of time and energy they've spent on this. What we did was, on May 2nd, we met here, and we were able to present all of the models in the Bay Area that we thought we could use. So at the first meeting of this committee, we got together, and we kind of went through them. We hashed out some of the things that we'd like to see in a review committee and worked on a mission statement and where we'd like to get. And Reverend Buford, I think we're going to talk about the second meeting. Your turn.
My name is Reverend Daniel Buford, and I'm with the Allen Temple Baptist Church, and I was asked by members of the community to be a part of this subcommittee process. So my sitting up here doesn't mean that I'm either elected official or on the payroll of BART. I was asked to be here, so I'm in here in the spirit of trying to carry forth, I think, some of the agenda of the community that requested my presence. So if I could just talk in just more broad strokes and just look from one meeting to the next, what got us here? We know what got us here. It was a tragic event of January the 1st. That's the incendiary incident. And that's the incident that has brought this to fore. But actually, what has brought us here is the history prior to that, because we have had at least three deaths that have occurred by BART police officers. All of those police officers happening to be white, and all of these shooting victims happen to be of African descent. What we came up with was a series of discussions and proposals that gave voice to the most recent incident and then looked at the history of these incidents as they have happened here in the San Francisco Bay Area under the BART Police Department, and then tried to put together something that is unique to the BART Police Force. Several weeks ago, we heard at least 9 different presentations of different configurations of a police citizens oversight model. Let me just say very very quickly that one of the things that, that we felt was necessary, and this was from community feedback, is that we call our model not a civilian model, police civilian model, but a police citizens model. That is to say, understanding that we're all citizens and we have citizenship rights, and that if you call yourself a civilian, you're a civilian only with respect to comparing yourself to a person in uniform, either in a military uniform or a police uniform. And we certainly are more than the sum total of what we are not. So we want to talk about what we are, which are citizens. And this is a citizens review process that we're engaging in, hence that language, which might seem to be an insignificant semantic distinction. But as we get into the body of this, you see that that is an important distinction as to how we see ourselves. A couple of other things I'll say is that I was heartened by the spirited discussions and sometimes agreements that held forth. We weren't necessarily all sitting on the same side of the table where our viewpoints were. But I appreciated the struggle for clarity and the struggle for truth on the part of all the members of the committee. The last couple of comments that I'll make, and this draft, I'll call your attention to the draft that we'll be reviewing momentarily. This draft, by way of analogy, metaphor, or simile, is a gumbo. This draft is a patchwork quilt. This draft is an amalgam. And what I mean is that as we looked at various models, no one model had everything that we were looking for. Elements of the San Jose model had things that we were looking for, as well as elements of the Sacramento model had what we were looking for. But neither of those models directly mentioned racial profiling like the Richmond model. And those models subsequently didn't have the outline of the citizens review process the way that the Denver model did. So then you can see as we go through this that we have put together something that is unique to BART, drawing on the models that are already in existence. And this is not a thing that's set in concrete, in my opinion. And it's something that's open for more discussion and more input. And once again, I think that the purpose of this meeting is to hear this and then to see what we could do. My last point is that I thought that we might come with 2 or 3 different models. But basically what we found was that no matter what we called the models, the relationship were all going to be the same, either the relationship of the committee to the auditor, ombudsman, or the relationship of the ombudsman, auditor, or inspector general to the committee. So basically, it's the relationships, not the name, that I think that we were trying to get to the essence of, and then this proposal is a reflection of that.
Thank you, Reverend Buford. So, and you said that very well, and thank you for putting it in those terms so that folks could understand where we are. One of the other things that we wanted to make sure our citizens model had was complete diversity. We didn't want to look at a citizens model that didn't include every ethnicity and most importantly, get some youth on that board. And thank you, Director Carol Ward Allen, for ensuring that that remained a piece no matter what. So in working with the group, and I think it needs to be known that we had police officers and we had non-police officers. So this coming to a consensus with this group, again, had both sides of the table. So by our last meeting, which was just the other day, we were able to come up with this draft that you have before you today. And again, we're going to keep harping on looking at this draft and paying close attention to it. And my hope is that when we get to the citizens' piece of it, that there'll be a lot of input, because what I want to see is this to be one of the strongest pieces that we have ever done, so that we're not sitting in this room ever again talking about how do we fix something that we knew was already somewhat broken. So to that end, Mr. Marshall, we're going to start on going through the draft and getting it done.
Thank you. Reverend Buford, you didn't mention San Francisco, so I'm glad that I was here to show you which one not to pick.
Okay.
That was great. No, but I think the point I'm making is with that feedback from listening to a number of current practices, you did your homework, so that this draft is crafted from looking at a number of different ways of doing this, and I think that's great. You're trying to craft something specifically for BART, and I think everyone should understand that. So here's what we have so far, and I'm going to just do some of the highlights. If you turn to the draft, everyone, just go through a little bit of this, and remember, this is a draft. It does not say final, it says draft. BART citizen oversight. The purpose is to provide an effective, independent citizen oversight system that will encourage systemic change and improve the police services BART provides to the public by ensuring that internal police accountability systems function properly, that behavioral, procedural, and policy deficiencies are identified and appropriately addressed, including racial profiling and allegations of racially abusive treatment, and that complaints are investigated through an objective and fair process for all parties involved. The system will analyze allegations of misconduct. It will utilize data to identify trends, including disciplinary outcomes and trends, recommend corrective action and/or training, maintain confidentiality, make policy recommendations, and report regularly to the BART Board of Directors and the public. The essential community involvement component of the system shall be accomplished through the inclusion of a citizen advisory board. That's the purpose. The Office of the Independent Police Auditor. The Office of the Independent Police Auditor shall be established by the Board of Directors in keeping with the core principles for an effective police auditor's office. The auditor shall be appointed by and report directly to the board and shall have the following authority and responsibilities as related to the BART Police Department. I'm not going to read all of these. You can read them yourself. In fact, I'm going to give you some time actually to do that before we begin part two. I just want to highlight a few of them. A, conduct independent investigations of all citizen allegations of unnecessary or excessive force, hate crimes, racial profiling, and allegations of racially abusive treatment. B, review BART Police Department investigations of complaints against police affairs to determine if the investigation was complete, thorough, objective, and fair. E, in conjunction with the Citizen Advisory Board, recommend changes and additions to BDP policy, procedures, and officer training. Some of the highlights, turn to the next page. H, the independent police auditor shall be immediately informed of all critical on-duty officer-involved incidents where death or serious bodily injury results, and shall act as an observer to any criminal, administrative, or civil investigation conducted by or on behalf of the BART Police Department. L, attend training annually to remain current on law changes and best practice trends in the conduct of citizen oversight. And H, adhere to the National Association of Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement, that's Nicole, their code of ethics. Just as important as the Citizen Advisory Board. And you'll notice that it says the Board of Directors shall appoint, the number is not yet fixed, member of the Citizen Advisory Board, which will report directly to the Board of Directors and shall have the following responsibilities. A, receive timely reports from the independent police auditor on citizen allegations of unnecessary or excessive force, hate crimes, racial profiling, and allegations of racially abusive treatment. B, coordinate with the Office of the Independent Auditor to conduct community outreach to ensure broad community awareness of the responsibilities of the auditor and the functions of the Citizen Advisory Board. I'll read one more. C, recommend strategies to improve police-community relations. Next page, please. Let's look at H, prepare an annual report for the Board of Directors and the public on the accomplishments of the Citizen Advisory Board. Lastly, the oversight system evaluation. This is not set in stone. I think you've heard this. The Board of Directors will review whatever you put together. The citizen oversight structure after the first year of implementation to determine if the need exists to make changes and or otherwise make adjustments to the system. This is what has been put together thus far. This is what we want you to discuss tonight. This is what your feedback on. I don't know if anybody wants to say anything, because anybody wants to make any comments right now, because what I'll do is give everybody some time to read this, study it, before we move into part two. But if any of the directors want to say anything at this point? Yes, sir, Mr. Lyle.
Good afternoon. I wanted to just make two quick comments. In terms of how we got there, we did take in the average number of complaints that BART received in the last 5 years, which is roughly between 12 and 20 complaints. And then we did use the document on ethics and what we expect from the investigator, from Professor Samuel Rocker, who's a noted professional in the field, and we all came together and agreed that that's the kind of ethical response we want from employees and what this system is supposed to stand for. So if you who are reading this, I want to direct you to that piece in here about Samuel Walker, the core principles for an effective police auditor's office. I think that's integral in what we're trying to do.
And if I might just build on Mr. Lyle's comments and point out one other enclosure in the packet that you referenced, Dr. Marshall, and that is the NACOL principles and standards that is referenced in this draft document is also in the packet and available for review.
On this concept of ethics, I just wanted to say that we were talking about accountability as a reporting function, but also one function of having an accountable relationship or having ethical agreements around which you're meeting. So it's not enough just to have built into a system report back if there are not agreed upon ethics around which people are meeting. So this took some time to discuss it, but I think just from a community perspective, that this is an important thing, because as we know, people can get onto committees for all kinds of reasons and have all kinds of agendas and not necessarily be in agreement with the ethics of what formed the committee and what animates the committee in the first place. And so
anyone else?
If I may just ask a question. Based
you
on
are part of the committee, sir. You may. Absolutely.
Just a point of clarification. That is a question for Director Radulovich.
Yes.
Because in his opening thoughts, he said it was something he wasn't thrilled about. So why don't we, if you don't mind, sharing what is it that's unthrilling to you?
Okay. Can everybody hear him?
Exactly.
Would you go to the microphone? Thank you.
My question just for the committee, because as we know, it's a draft, it's a working process, it's not final. And of course, and I didn't sit through all of the meetings, so I just wanted to hear from Mr. Radulovich, what was it that was less than thrilling to you about the proposal at this phase?
Well, two things I would say. One is the role of the auditor or the committee in discipline. It's purely advisory and not direct. They're neither appeals body to discipline, nor do they have a direct role in discipline around these areas of misconduct. And that is something that I think is important to have. The other thing is that the role of the committee is purely advisory. They're not investigate or adjudicate actual misconduct, and that is, while stronger than the models that you see in places like San Jose and Sacramento, it is it's considerably weaker role for the advisory, where advisory committees are either advisory or don't exist. It's a weaker role than you see in the urban communities, the Bay Area, so Richmond, Berkeley, Oakland, San Francisco. So those are areas where I feel it could be stronger. The areas where I felt they did hit all the right notes were sort of the investigation, the investigative powers of the auditor itself, and the reporting, and the policy recommendations, and so on. But I feel if there's no direct role in discipline, the chief isn't accountable for following these recommendations, whether policy recommendations or disciplinary recommendations. It's not going to do what I think at least my constituents want to see it do.
Why don't we do this then? If there's no more, there is another comment from.
There's another comment. If I could direct your attention to the Office of Independent Auditor. And we started off by subsection A, said the conduct independent investigation of all citizen allegations of unnecessary or excessive force, hate crime, racial profiling, and allegation of racially abusive treatment. That is from the perspective of the complainant. And we probably should have written that in. We had a very detailed discussion about that, that one person comes up and says, I was treated a certain way, and I think this is a racial issue, and I'm giving you a hypothetical, and an officer or a sergeant says, well, no, I don't think it's that, it's something else. No, it's from the perspective of the person making the complaint. That's critical, and we all agreed on that in our discussion, this committee.
Okay, then. Let's proceed this way.
Why
don't we take some time, say 5 minutes, for everybody to read the document, get your pens and pencils out, and make your comments and questions that you wanted to ask. After that, I'll come back and explain how we will do part two. But let me just say, there's a few things we really want to get from you during the next session. What outcomes do you want from establishing civilian oversight? What should the relationship be between the Citizen Review Board and the Independent Police Auditor? These are some of the things we'd like to hear your feedback on. Are there other elements that should be included in this model, which are most important? And just as important, are there elements in the draft model that shouldn't be included? So those can be some guidelines for you as you respond to what you've heard. Of course, you can put in anything that you want to. So we'll take about 5 minutes and we'll come back. Thank you.
May I add something else?
Yes, you may.
One is the degree of openness of the proceedings. There's a lot of emphasis on here on confidentiality, and much confidentiality is required under state law, either by court decision or officer's bill of rights. But I felt like it was lacking a statement that things should be open and transparent so far as allowed by state law. So really just say, let's conduct everything in the light of day insofar as we're able under state law, rather than exclusively emphasizing the confidentiality. I know there will need to be a balance of the two. So again, one thing I wanted to throw out for members of the public, I think we talked at the last meeting in terms of what needs to be confidential. According to state law, but I think some discussion or conversation about what ought to be open and transparent about this and what this committee does is in order too, and that'll help us figure out where we need to go. We may not be able to please the community because there's just constraints now, As you know, Joe, it's changed very much in terms of the way that every police review body's had to do business. But there is still some discretion there around certain areas, and just want to hear from members of the public and community on that.
Okay. 5 minutes has officially begun.
Let me say, if you wish to speak, you need to speak, fill out a speaker form, hold it up, and it will be collected. And we will number the forms as they are collected, so they will be in order. Of course, only one person will be permitted at the mic, one at a time. If you want to make comments, there are cards in your folders, so you can do that. And 3 minutes is the limit at the mic.